Hi, hello again, everybody. I'm Logan Anymore, and welcome again to another lovely edition, this time episode 7, a Racing Refresh Happy Hour. This one titled Atlanta Addicts, la-la-la-dee, la-la-la-la, and the beat goes on. Let's go ahead and do it. Ryan Hill, it's never great to see you. Let's bring in the best man. I'm talking about a man so dapper, so yapper, so ready to napper. Kyle Den Best, how are you?
I'm doing great. Rocking my, Daytona 500 t-shirt because we have a lot of NASCAR to talk about. We have some F1 to talk about. We have a great, exciting weekend ahead where NASCAR and Formula One are sort of going to blend together. Very excited to talk about it. We have a lot to get to in this, what feels like just short amount of time. Very excited to be here.
It is shorter than me leaving a convenience store. You're not wrong about that. Yes, it's all going to blend together like a nice shamrock shake. They don't sponsor us, so we're going to stop there. Let's bring in the man that helps find the sponsors. I'm talking about the show creator. I'm talking about the second favorite Canadian I've ever known and the prettiest man sitting up north on this show, Adam Carabine. Come on in here and come on down.
Wow, those are very nice words. Thank you, Logan. It's good to see you guys. Good to be back. Episode 7, here we go. Let's get her done.
Episode 7, and you know, seven's a lucky number, and I'm a lucky man, and you know, we're lucky people, because do you know who produces this show? She's much better looking than the three of us. I'll tell you, did I outkick my coverage or what? Let's bring her in. Graphic extraordinaire, and a woman that crafts after everyone's heart. Producer Peggy, come on in. How are you? Come on, put a smile on that face.
I would be smiling more if I did have a shamrock shake. But yes, I just got finished painting.
I've never had one.
Really? Oh, man. McDonald's, if you guys want to sponsor us, we will gladly plug the shamrock shake even more.
Absolutely, we will. Absolutely, we will. Peter. Smile. You got to be with a comedian most nights a week. Look at, I mean, think about the individual that you get to share your time with. No, this ain't the time for the show. Anywho, any thoughts before we get going, Peter? Nope. Yeah, it's her long-winded commentary that we have her on the show, folks. Man, I'll tell you.
It's always the really deep breath.
Yeah.
And then just no. It's good. Like,
Adam, you got anything before we get going here?
No, you guys kick it off. Let's get her started.
All right. Well, in that case, let's go ahead and pull me up a graphic, could we please? Weekend review. Let's talk about that thing one good time. Oh, yeah. All right. It's time for your weekend review. Let's do it. So, Christian Eckes won the Truck Series race. Colin, give me some quick rundown thoughts on that. Anything.
So I briefly caught the truck race. It was very exciting to the end that all super speedway races in the truck series seem to produce nowadays. Certainly Christian Eckes now puts himself in playoff contention as he looks to be one of the championship favorites in the sort of refreshed Kyle Busch Motorsports. He's not with Kyle Busch. He's with Triforce Racing, which is a very interesting conversation to have. They become the next Toyota team in the truck series. But certainly good for Christian Eckes. He's going to win a lot more this year. Sort of an underwhelming truck race that I saw the highlights of, but really nothing to report off this one.
Yeah, I don't think there was a whole lot to chat about, but always good to get a win if you're, you know, you're Christian Eckes. And momentum, you know, it's a fickle lady in every sport, but especially NASCAR. And you know how quickly truck seasons can turn because so much of the action is beating and banging. And so you got to wonder, you got any early championship favorites for that truck series before we move it along?
So I think Christian Eckes and Ben Rhodes are certainly going to be, you know, the top favorites. One person who surprised me every single week we've seen a truck race is Nick Sanchez. He's a rookie this year in the truck series. He reminds me a lot of Colton Herta in the IndyCar series, where this guy has so much talent and he's very fast. We've seen it a couple times and a couple flashes this year, especially at Atlanta. He was certainly one of the trucks that were in favorite to win, and then he got taken out in a wreck later on. Actually, no, he actually finished the race. He came home with a top 10 finish. But, you know, if he gets his skill set under control, I think Nick Sanchez could be one of those favorites to be a rookie who goes on to win a Craftsman Truck Series championship by the year's end.
It wouldn't surprise me. Again, with the truck series, is so hard to call. But let's move on to a series that's getting kind of dominated by one man, and it's not the individual you would have thought of coming into a year where Cole Custer's returning to the Xfinity Series. Austin Hill, the king of the hill, dang it, Bobby, if you will, he gets another one, his third already his third win of the season at Xfinity. He's becoming, we've talked about it on the show already, arguably NASCAR's next great super speedway racer. We'll see what happens when eventually he does find a cup ride. But, you know, if Atlanta is the love child, per se, of Daytona and Talladega, well, once again, he's conquered that particular rec room. What were your thoughts? Austin Hill getting it done yet again.
You know, in a race that almost seemed like it would never end with the amount of cautions that we've seen during the Xfinity Series race, and Austin Hill pretty much dominating the entire race. It's a very interesting to see how his career is progressing in the super speedways. I kind of have to eat words. Last week on the show, I said that he wouldn't win at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and it turns out he dominated that race single-handedly, pretty much by himself. Sheldon Creed was relegated to the back of the field. But Austin Hill, to me, I think in the Xfinity Series right now is the best super speedway racer by far. And I think, you know, with a couple more years, if he gets more Cup Series starts, he could be one of those guys that just get it. I think it's a testament to show how good RCR is, how well they developed over the past couple of years, sort of just relegated to like maybe top 10, top 15 finishes. But now with Austin Hill and Sheldon Creed, who's still a great driver, not selling him short by any means, but this is a team that could win Xfinity Series titles year after year after year as long as those two are in it. Certainly, JR Motorsports has taken a step back as the Chevy teams in that Xfinity Series, and RCR, I believe, has now taken the top spot among all the teams, but most importantly, Chevrolet.
Yeah, that's one of the most fascinating things. Junior Motorsports has kind of been the funnel for talent lately in the Cup Series. We know that, you know, it was Kyle Busch Motorsports for so long, and lately it's been Junior Motorsports. And then all of a sudden this year, it feels like it's shifting to RCR. They feel like they're on the upswing as an entire organization. We know that they got Kyle Busch in the offseason and have had much better results, already have a win with Kyle at Auto Club. And, you know, it just feels like they're on the upswing and on the cusp. They're not there yet. Let's not, you know, put the cart before the horse, count any chickens before they may hatch. But it just feels like they are on the cusp of becoming competing with the quote unquote big boys every week. Your Hendricks, your Gibbs, your Penske, those three that tend to dominate, and then everyone else is kind of playing catch up ball. Going to be interesting to see if they can continue this momentum all year long. Of course, the Super Speedway portion is great, but there's so much more to that. We, of course, go to COTA this weekend. We'll break that down for you in full. Ryan, I do have to get to your comment. This sounds familiar to you. You are not my king. Boy, doesn't that sound awfully familiar to him. But we appreciate you for tuning in. Do us one great favor, Ryan, if you would. Give us a like. Give us a share. We greatly would appreciate that. And anyone else, if you're watching, tuned in, do us a great favor. Give us a like, give us a share. Let us grow this thing as much as we possibly can. We cannot do it without your help, I should say. Without your help, we need you. We got to have you. Couldn't do it without you. Wouldn't even attempt it. All right. All right, Ryan, I need you to smile. Ryan, go ahead, because guess what? It's time to talk about it. Colin, you may have learned in short order that Ryan Hill's favorite driver is Joey Logano. So he's going to be real happy here when we say this. Look, bitter, no. Look, I talk a lot, so I go a little hoarse. It happens. Bitter, that's it's fun. No, you're all right, maybe. Joey Logano made a last lap pass on his old teammate. I mean, it was old school. It was yesteryear. Brad Kay looked like he might have had this one in the bag, getting the six back in victory lane for, I believe, the first time since 2011. That, of course, did not take place. Joey Logano gets his 32nd Cup Series win and his first win when Shell Pennzoil was not the main scheme on his car. You know, usually Ryan talks to me every week about, he looks at I send him the entry list like I do everybody else because I have no life. And he looks at it and goes, well, it's, you know, if it's Auto Trader, it might be a rough week. Well, not this week, Ryan. What'd you think of that last lap pass? What'd you think of the racing overall? Joey Logano getting it done again. Brad Kay coming up oh so short, but plenty to be excited for if you can build on that momentum for RFK. Lots to unpack there. Go with it.
Yeah, so really this was set up by a push from Corey LaJoie, I believe, down the backstretch, which ultimately put Logano ahead of Keselowski, and we know the rest is history. A couple takeaways that I have I written down. My first was, you know, in the pre-race, Brad was talking about, you know, we don't need luck as long as we don't have bad luck, and he was running up front pretty much the entire day. It's really great to see RFK or anything associated with Roush Fenway be up towards the front. At one point, they were, you know, this team was five racers. They had all their drivers in the chase in the early 2000s. You know, this was a team that sort of took a downswing, and now they're rebounding. And it's great to see just more teams up front, and especially at the Cup Series. But then we go to Joey Logano, who Adam, the stat master, he can probably find us out for us, but I think that's the most laps led in a super speedway style event that I've seen in quite a long time, 140 laps that Joey Logano led. He certainly dominated this race. All the Penske Fords certainly seemed quick. We saw that in qualifying. I mean, what was it? 9 out of the 10 drivers who qualified in the top 10 were Fords. The one Chevy was Kyle Larson. A lot of people, I saw Jeff Gluck's Twitter poll about the race. Was it good? About almost 52-53% said it was a good race. 48% said it was a bad race. I like Atlanta, but I have to agree with Allgaier a little bit. I feel like they kind of ruined that track. I think Atlanta is too small, too narrow to be a super speedway event. Where you can't really, you know, get the classic 2-3 wide racing that we always see. You know, it's going to be interesting how this track, when it ages, will the cars get spread out? Will it kind of turn into this new Atlanta or the old Atlanta that we've seen? But what we've seen is you can run wide open around there. And the horsepower problems with the 550 package, or what was the horsepower 650 that we have with the Cup Series, I feel like that's a little too, not too, not, we need more power in the cup cars. You need them harder to drive. It's just the manufacturer. I hate to say this, but NASCAR took entertainment over racing. When it comes to Atlanta, I'm certainly not a fan of it. I'll give it the July race. I'll see how that goes. But if the July race doesn't produce better racing than what I think we should have seen over the past weekend, then Atlanta has just turned into this Frankenstein's monster kind of thing.
Oh, bah humbug, Mr. Best. Bah humbug. You Scrooge. You Scrooge.
I'll take it.
Are you kidding me? Look. The last thing we needed, let me preface it with this. A lot of great history and tradition in Atlanta. Tons of it. I got you. That's wonderful. And I'm not, no one gets more hung up on history they didn't see than yours truly. But the last thing we need is another, just a regular mile and a half. Now, do I think we should extend beyond this? Do we need more than 6 super speedway style races in the year? Absolutely not, Negatory Ghost Rider. But to say it's ruined, I don't know. Is it ruined or has Justin Allgaier just not caught up? You know, it's producing exciting action. And let's be honest, we need some more exciting action. And I'm not every race is going to be an all-time classic home run. But we talked on this show, the last two didn't produce the greatest excitement. It may have produced some decent racing, but as a viewer, it left a little to be desired. But I know you asked a question, young man, about laps being led on Super Speedway style tracks. So let's bring in the guru himself, the man that does it so well. I'm talking about the statistician extraordinaire, the Sultan of Stats himself, Adam Carabine. Come on in, Adam.
The Sultan of Stats. Wow, I like it. Thank you.
Will that be in the new Twitter bio next week?
Maybe we should, yeah. Sultan, I don't know. I feel like Twitter bio, it's hard. You don't want to call yourself that. Like, people won't know that you just called me that, and it'll be embarrassing for me to call myself the Sultan of Stats. But yes,
Colin, to find out, they should be watching this show each and every week at 8:30.
That's true. Yeah. Where is everyone? What's going on? So Colin, you asked about laps led at super speedways. I was kind of looking just in the last 10 years, and it looks like in 2018, Ryan Blaney led 118 laps at Daytona. Kurt Busch that same year led 108 laps at Talladega. And then Brad Keselowski, of all people, 2016, led 115 laps at Daytona. So I think Logano's just this past weekend at Atlanta is the highest in the last 10 years, but I could be wrong. That's in my briefest of researches. So I'll leave it at that for now.
I think my point when you go to lap leaders and super speedways is super speedways bring parity to the sport. Now, we saw Corey LaJoie run up towards the top 10. He got his best career finish of fourth on Sunday. But the style of racing that Atlanta produces, that the bottom line isn't the best way, because over time, now I'm saying this from an iRacing perspective as well, but also what I see is that the cars on the bottom get tight as that the right rear goes away, or the right front goes away, so they push up. And you're using less tire or less turning force running higher. So that high middle lane becomes consistent. No one ran up towards the wall for the entire 400-mile races. I didn't see anyone run near the wall in the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, or the Cup Series. So really, the most powerful line is that outside line. And it's really hard to develop runs when the inside radius of the turn is too tight. My thing is, the thing about Atlanta that really irritates me is that it's too narrow. It's a little bit less wide than Daytona, Talladega obviously being the widest. And the whole reason they turned out a super speedway tile package to Atlanta is they just took away some of the inside of the track. They just increased the apron so much that you kind of shorten this racing groove. To me, this is exactly what the 550 horsepower package that NASCAR introduced a couple years ago was supposed to do. At every mile and a half was supposed to create this pack racing. And now we're at 650, with a car that has way more drag, even including the same power. Tyler Reddick said a couple weeks ago at Vegas that this is what NASCAR is going to turn into. People are going to figure out the next gen car. This is what we're going to get. We're going to get the 550 package that we saw that universally was hated across the board by most fans. Maybe I'm a stickler, maybe I'm a traditionalist when it comes to NASCAR, but if you give these guys more power, I think that race would have turned out completely different.
Oh, I think Logan is muted as he's talking to us here.
Look, perhaps you would, and perhaps you're right, no doubt about it. But I just think that when you consider the fact of, I know you say, well, they chose entertainment over racing. They're in the entertainment business. When you have broadcast partners paying $25 million a race, that does not include a broadcaster's salary. They're in the entertainment business. So not everybody, you need a nice variety. You need a smorgasbord. You need a buffet of the type of racing we can see throughout the season. Because the reality is they got too hung up on the mile and a half when it did well in the 90s and early 2000s. So we just started sprouting them up like pimples on prom night. And so they unfortunately got themselves into a pickle because they thought that would last forever. And it didn't. And frankly, to most average viewers, it got boring. Now, to the three of us, it's fine. Give me some popcorn over Red and Buck or whatever have you. I'll be all right. We gonna watch. We got something to read for. But to the average viewer, things need to change. Now, are we appealing to the wrong viewers? I don't know. But unfortunately, here's something to bring up. We'll get into it in a little bit. But we're going to talk about how the fact it might not be working because the ratings are I don't want to say way down, but down a good size compared to last year. We'll talk about that more in depth here in just a moment. Any other final thoughts on Atlanta before we get to the Grand Prix of the lovely folks? I'm talking about real humanitarians out there in Saudi Arabia.
If you got me on my soapbox, we'd be here for 3 hours.
Fair enough. I was going to say, I thought it was actually a pretty thrilling finish. Even not just the last lap pass, but the last 20 laps or so, once Keselowski got to the front, I was also listening to his spotter on the radio, and it was just like, I know they talked about it on the broadcast, but it really was a masterclass of spotting, just the amount of info that he was giving Brad in such a short amount of time. Like, so much info was coming out. It was really interesting to watch and kind of neat to see Keselowski trying to block both lanes. Too bad it didn't work out for him.
Now, I want you to marinate on this until we get to our weekend preview. I want to know later on in the show, and I'm going to ask both you gentlemen this. Think on it. I'm going to ask both you gentlemen if you think this was the end of the Chevy dominance, because finally Ford throughout the entire weekend showed up and showed out, and they were smoother than a fresh jar of Skippy, is one Bruno Mars once famously said. So we need to talk about, it was this the end of the Chevrolet dominance? Because for a while there, it was baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and yes, I'll see a Chevrolet on Sunday and sell it on Monday. But we'll talk about that later. For now, we have a Grand Prix of Saudi Arabia to talk about. And for that, Colin, senior open wheel rider, the best man himself at my wedding and yours. You'll be a groomsman, I'm sure, at the very least. So tell us about it.
So we did have a very exciting race compared to what we saw in Bahrain. I thought Max Verstappen was going to win, but it turned out to be his teammate Sergio Perez, who got his fifth win in his career, his first of the season. He's now 1 point back of the championship standings behind Max Verstappen. Verstappen did a masterclass of driving. He went from 15th to 2nd in the Grand Prix in the 50 laps that the event was ran over. It was certainly thrilling to watch him fight through the field, but I think the storyline of the weekend wasn't Sergio Perez. It wasn't Max Verstappen going from 15 to 2nd. It was Fernando Alonso, who at the start did get the lead a little bit from Sergio Perez. Eventually, Perez tracked him down on a DRS straight, and the rest was history for the team Red Bull. But he did get a podium finish. It was mired in a little bit of controversy as on the initial start of the race, he was lined up a little bit too far left in his pit box. that gave him a 5-second penalty on the start. They did serve that penalty, and the FIA believed that it wasn't to their, what they would have wanted. So they issued a 10-second penalty to Fernando Alonso, which dropped him from third place to sixth place, which certainly wouldn't be a bad day. Finishing inside the points is always a great day for Formula One, but, you know, having a podium is way better. Eventually, after the race, a couple hours, the FIA did rescind that penalty and did give him back the podium finish for the Grand Prix of Saudi Arabia. Certainly, overtaking was a big thing at Jeddah. It's the fastest street circuit, puts on a great show. But I think the low light of this race is how Team McLaren has certainly went from being the leader of the midfield to now being relegated to the bottom doorstep. Williams has surpassed McLaren as probably one of the midfield leaders. Aston Martin's still at the top of the midfield. We'll get into that another day. Maybe that's a no stupid question that Adam can look up what the midfield is in Formula One. But certainly a very exciting race. I'm looking forward. Formula One has a week off as they will trip down under to Daniel Ricciardo land and Kangaroo land, as the next race up is the Grand Prix of Australia, which you can catch on a four-letter network, or you can watch our do our pre-race article and post-race article right here on racingrefresh.com.
Yes, absolutely. Stay tuned for all that great content that Colin Best brings you each and every week on racingrefresh.com. And right here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour, he's an educator of the masses when it comes to open wheel. You know, that's again, I'm helping your Twitter bio out as well, Colin. Right here. That's what we're here for. It's what we're here for. Educator of the masses.
Thank you.
All right. Well, with that, it's time. Go ahead, Peggy, cue it up. It's time for our weekly Happy Hour headlines. Ain't nothing like neon, baby. Ain't nothing like it. All right. One thing we got to talk about. I know people got plenty of thoughts on this. How about let's call him Mr. Starting Park for the week, Mr. Josh Williams. He said, look, I got to pull it on over. I'm going to pull it on over right here at the start-finish line. I'm going to bring in that one Adam Carbine, whether he's ready or not. I'm going to bring him in. I'm going to bring him in because I want him to break down, you know, because this is what he's here for. I want him to break down this incident. Mr. Carbine, can you tell us more about this Josh Williams incident between he and NASCAR and what the scuttlebutt and what the hubbub was all about?
Yeah, NASCAR asked Josh Williams to park it. Quote that will come up again in a minute, but they asked him to park it, and he was fed up. He stopped right on the start finish line, didn't even bring it down pit road, got out of the car and marched his way back to the garage. And it was a certain, like, it was a real act of defiance towards NASCAR, which is interesting. It polarized some people. I think, you know, some people were like, yeah, fight the powers. And other people were like, oh, that's not a great look for NASCAR to have, you know, one of, I don't know if I would say stars, but one of your drivers, like, actively kind of being a jerk, in front of everyone. So yeah, he wound up being suspended for one race. So he will not be at COTA this weekend. And actually, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, Denny Hamlin offered to pay his fine. Denny Hamlin's getting in everyone's business these days on Twitter. I don't know if it's just like a guerrilla marketing campaign for his podcast, Actions Detrimental, but so Josh Williams is suspended one race. And what I found really interesting, and you guys can talk more about this, is just the way his sponsors kind of stuck by him and supported the move and almost kind of steered into it.
Well, you know, I think that's probably because, and maybe you disagree, both you guys might disagree with this, but frankly, let's call a spade a spade. Josh Williams needs that attention, that controversy, that press. I mean, it's not a major team he drives for. He said he can't afford to pay the fine, which really tells you all you need to know. Yeah, any sort of momentum like that, especially for an underfunded Xfinity team, whether it's good or bad, You almost have to lean into that. You almost have to. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your sponsors. You do. You know, it's one of those things that whether you like it or not, we've seen that in past. You know, we've seen that in past where you lean into the controversy. You lean into you know, that's just the way it goes. RPM and Bubba Wallace leaned into Black Lives Matter because of losing Blue Emu in that blow up of the what was the iRace at the time with Fox during COVID. They lost Blue Emu because Bubba lost his crap on Race and Quit, if you recall. And so they, you know, they were like, all right, well, let's kind of cash in on the Black Lives Matter movement. And then we saw Brandon Brown with the Let's Go Brandon stuff, tried to cash in on that. NASCAR put the kibosh on that. So this is not new. As far as how it looks, risky, so what now?
Sorry, it's risky though. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I agree.
Bubba Wallace, you talk about the Blue Emu incident, like you know, that sort of thing could have happened to Josh Williams this weekend where his sponsors said, you know, we don't like that kind of attitude and we're going to drop you. So yeah, it was, you know, it worked out in the end. It's easy to say that now, but what a risky move, I think, on his part.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying it's a good thing that he did. Like, yeah, it's a cool moment, and so we'll play into that. But I told a couple buddies of ours that at the end of the day, he might have let his small underfunded team down because every lap counts for an underfunded team. Every single lap counts. If you remember the days of Morgan Shepherd when he would start in park the last several years. It was all that Morgan Shepherd would ask, how many more laps do I have to go until we get into the green, a.k.a. make money? And he would go the amount of laps or maybe a few over of whatever that is, and he would pull it down pit road. Every lap counts. And, yeah, it's risky to lean into those controversial moments because no matter how you feel about either one of those topics I brought up, you're alienating potentially half the fan base and alienating potentially sponsors. And because in a corporate world, people still have their opinions. So yeah, it's tough. Colin, I want to come to you on this. What'd you think of the incident? And you know, is this kind of a raise hell, praise Dale sort of moment, or is this a bad look? Cause I can see both sides of it.
Look, after that Xfinity race, there needed to be some good press, and the good press that Josh Williams brought to that series certainly is good. I'm more of a conspiracy theorist. I believe he did this to avoid going to COTA next week. A lot of, you know, it's a really hard track to learn, especially in a stock car, let alone a Formula One car. So I think he did it to get out of COTA. That's just my opinion. But, you know, I certainly think he leaned into it. He went on Dirty Mo Media earlier this week and talked about it. I didn't have a chance to listen to it. But from the fan engagement on Twitter, what they were talking about, this was an overall generally positive stick it to the man. I mean, this is a NASCAR blue collar. This is a Stone Cold Steve Austin type thing. That's how he got over in the WWE, and that's how Josh is going to get over with NASCAR fans, you know, sort of the anti-establishment, you know, blue-collar guy. I mean, this guy, you know, if anyone's stacking pennies in a NASCAR world, it's Josh Williams. It ain't Corey LaJoy. So I'm all for it. I looked at his T-shirt that he was selling. I'm thinking about buying one, to be honest, and wear it proudly. And maybe I might stick it on my flagpole outside my house and fly it like the American flag, just proudly. But I thought it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. It was sort of the thing that it reminded me of is when Will Power flipped off the race control booth at New Hampshire a couple of years ago, and that was caught live on TV, and that was sort of a huge social media movement for IndyCar. For me, I wish they took my local track Five Flag Speedway's approach to it. That would have been a little bit more funnier, to where there was a guy, if I can tell a story real quick, a guy got parked by the officials. He parked it at the start finish line. They took it, a tow truck to it, and they put it out on the street in the median. And they just said, if you want to go get it, go get it. That's what NASCAR should have done. They should have just hauled it out to the property and said, if you want to go get it, go get it. That would have just blown up more on social media, which would have got more fan interest out of Josh Williams as the establishment fought back against him. Certainly no hard feelings I had. I thought it was entertaining. The walk, the mullet, the sound bite that he couldn't pay the fine. it just clicked all the boxes of one of these viral moments for NASCAR, and they need it. They certainly do. And when he comes back, I think at Martinsville, the week after COTA, he'll be getting one of the biggest pops during driver intros than any Xfinity Series driver could get.
Yeah, I can agree with all that, but Adam, to wrap it up, I want to give you a thought on this, and let me see if you agree. Within 6 weeks, no one's going to give a damn. No one's going to care. People are going to, you know, oh well, this isn't something you can cash in long term, because none of these controversies that I've mentioned just a moment ago have been able to be cashed in on long term. People have thought these are kind of career changing moments that we kind of run into. And that has never happened. It's literally just it's literally the flavor of the month. And yeah, they get to put a ringer in there, and I'm glad that everybody stood by him. But at the end of the day, you also, I don't know if we'd be praising Kyle Busch for the same behavior. I wouldn't. I'd be the first to go, well, look who's back. Oh, classic KFB, huh? You know, so it is. Yeah, it's a cool moment. It was from an entertainment standpoint. It's awesome. I'm not going to sit here and deny that. But from a, it's awesome because of who it is. Because again, it's an unfair standard. Because I promise you, some of the more unlikable guys, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, no disrespect to any of them, Bubba Wallace, Kyle Larson. If any of these guys do this, there is a section of the fan base ready to eat them alive. Ready to eat them alive. Call them unprofessional, spoiled children. And then maybe rightfully so. Adam, I'll let you close it out. What say you?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't know if it's going to be something that's talked about in a month's time, but, you know, otherwise, would anyone have talked about Josh Williams at all this season?
Fair.
You know, driving for DGM, it's not, you know, not one of the premier teams in the Xfinity Series. And again, I also don't mean any disrespect to them. It's just, you know, they clearly are a lower funded team. And so, I don't know, you know, take your minute in the glory and go for it. Not everyone can pull off a Hail Melon every week and, you know, have something that's talked about for months and months. But at the end of the day, I know Colin made mention of it. He's got a t-shirt up there. I think we've got the t-shirt here. We can show you up on the screen. He's selling this t-shirt here. Is it coming? There it is. Yeah. Selling this on a t-shirt and, you know, despite being an underfunded team, all the proceeds are going to the Josh Williams Hospital Tour, which is one of his organizations there. So it's going to charity. It's for a good cause. And you know what? We're talking about Josh Williams, and I'm sure he's pleased. So I don't know. Yeah.
Will we
care in a month? Probably not. There'll be something new to talk about, but I don't know. Take your glory when you can get it, right?
Look, I get it. We had joy. We had fun. We had seasons in the sun. I get it. Hey, I understand, truly. But again, I do want to point out that I think if a bigger name driver does this, we're not, way to fight the power. You know, yeah, you know, we're not all Flavor Flavin' with it. We're not Public Enemy. If Kyle Busch, if he does this, a section of the fan base and go, well, look who's back. Joey Logano, probably getting watermelon stone at him. Like, there's a section of the fan. Now, if Ross Chastain did it, we're like, yeah, that's classic Ross. But all I'm saying is this. Yes, from an entertainment standpoint, awesome. Man, we'll live that forever. But let's not sit here and pretend that if everybody did that, we'd be these spoiled millionaires, son of a biscuit-eating bulldogs. Anywho, we got to move it along. That's just my thought. As you said, Adam, Denny Hamlin offered to pay the fine. Denny seems to be on the. He's got a case of the senioritis. If
there anything. Was no fine though,
yeah.
He didn't get fined.
No, yeah, there wasn't a fine.
Which. Probably because I knew he couldn't afford it. Let's talk more about the restart zones, Adam. They're reverting back to the 2022 length. NASCAR said it didn't quite give us what we were looking for. Can you give us more on that?
Yeah, so I don't know if you remember back, I believe it was episode one of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. We did a No Stupid Questions segment about the new rules for the season. NASCAR said they were going to make the restart zones a little bit longer on both ends just to see if it gave a bit more of an advantage to the control car at the start of restarts, and they said we're going to do it until Atlanta, and then we're going to reassess. And after Atlanta, they decided, you know what, it didn't really change much. We had that one pileup that Joey Logano caused from, you know, that, but I don't think that was what NASCAR was hoping for. I don't think they were hoping for a caution on, you know, the first lap of a restart. So it didn't wind up doing much. And, you know, I say props to NASCAR for trying it out. And you know what? I think it takes a certain, you know, amount of balls to come out and say, you know what, it didn't work, and we're going to try something else next time. And I think that's great. So good on NASCAR on this one.
Yes, long live to stick with the fortitude. Do you think it's the right call to change it back?
I don't know if we saw enough to like really, like we didn't even see it at a road course at all. I don't know. At the end of the day, it didn't really change anything. So I don't know. I guess you could have left it and nothing else would have happened either. So I don't know if I care.
Colin, what say you? Thoughts on them reverting back to the 2022 restart zones?
I really don't know what they were looking for. I saw the statement today and I was like, what were you guys trying to look for? Because to me, I mean, you just increased the box of the area that you can restart in. But I mean, after the restart, I mean, it really doesn't matter. And if a guy goes late in the box anyway, he's going to go late in the box. And if he goes early, he's going to go early. It doesn't matter if that is extended more or less. If he goes early and he catches off guard with such a huge restart zone, it's like, wow, look at that jump. But if it was like Daytona and he did it, we're going to be like, oh, look at that jump. And now the whole field's behind him and they're going to eat him up. So, I mean, it didn't really change anything, to be honest. If we didn't even talk about it, if NASCAR didn't even say anything, no one would care. It wouldn't even be an issue. It's like, oh, he's just going later. The box just looks bigger. It's not even a big deal. So to me, it's another one of these useless rules that have quickly come and gone in NASCAR. If they can find something better, I hope they do. But right now, I mean, restarts are about as simple as hitting a single in baseball right now. It's just something that it's the wheel. You can't reinvent the wheel when it comes to this.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. Okay, ratings for Atlanta were down compared to last year. Colin, I'll come to you here. What do you think? Is that the Chase Elliott effect? Obviously, the quote-unquote hometown boy not around. Of course, he's from Dawsonville, just like Daddy. And so, what do you think? Ratings seem down. Is that just the Chase Elliott effect, or is there more to it?
Well, ratings have been down for every single race so far this season, so I don't think it's the Chase Elliott spectacle that we think. You know, last year, ratings were up because we had the next-gen car. Ratings were up for Atlanta because it was the new Atlanta. It was a lot of new, especially for the first half of the season, that we just didn't know about, especially with the new car, how it would work. Mm-hmm. Now we do. And you know, you could look at March Madness as being, you know, sort of a factor in the rating system. They've been getting good slots, especially, you know, some of the races haven't been rained out. Fontana wasn't rained out. Their weather hasn't been an impact in any of these races so far. You know, the races aren't starting too late, especially for people on the West Coast. Adam can attest to that. They're pretty early too late for people on the East Coast, excuse me, because it doesn't matter. It's in the morning, no matter what time they start in the States. But to be honest, I think it's an ebb and flow kind of thing. I watch the races on YouTube TV. By default, the Nielsen rating system is off on that setting. I turned mine on because I didn't know about it, because I want to be involved in ratings. I kind of wanted to see if my number was, you know, part of that 4 million people who watch. You know, streaming plays a part into it. I do guarantee there's maybe a Chase Elliott kind of factor. We'll just have to see when he comes back how many people tune back in to events.
Yeah, I think the Chase Elliott factor, not big per se, but I bet there's about 200,000, 300,000, something like that, a nice little chunk of change. Because let's be honest, if you're not a diehard fan of the sport, it's a driver-based sport that you get attached to. That's just the way it goes. So yeah, I think that plays a factor. Also, I think that here's the thing. This, to me, early sample size, but stop giving me, this is why we do the clash and the halftime break, to attract new fans. Nobody cares. It won't add anybody. No one is long-term turned into a Wiz Khalifa concert and became a NASCAR fan. Every Rihanna fan didn't become a football fan. Ain't how it works. You can delude yourself all you want, but that's not true. It's not. Absolutely a bunch of bunk. People go, well, we're attracting new fans. Where? Show me. Are they in a bunker? Where are they? It's not true. It's a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of crap we tell ourselves to make something like an exhibition race and a waste of money and a waste of time and a waste of resources seem like a good thing. It's not. It's not bad, but let's not pretend that it's drawing in the millions. No, people are going to turn it on one time and go, oh, look, NASCAR's kind of cool, but is anyone going to check out and make their Sundays any more important? No! Quit deluding yourself. Sorry, I had to get that out. I've been waiting on that for a long time because here, we're about 6 weeks in, so stop giving me this is why we do the clash. Doesn't change a damn thing. Nothing. Stop it. You're lying to yourselves. Okay. General Motors is ending production on the Camaro. Chevys can run in 2024, but not after that. Adam, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's just
a rant because it's a bunch of lies.
My goodness. I think Logan needs a breath here. Yeah, so General Motors announced just today that they are ending production on the Camaro, which is surprising to me. I guess NASCAR has already said that Chevy is allowed to run the Camaro in 2024 because General Motors will have a 2024 Camaro, but after that, that's the end of it. And so the rules of NASCAR say that you can't run a car that is not actively in production. So yeah, the days of the Chevy Camaro are numbered when it comes to NASCAR.
Any thoughts on that, Colin, before we move along?
Yeah, I'm more of a Team Toyota guy when it comes to my NASCAR. So for me, this is sort of the evolution of how Chevy, people are talking about, with can the Corvette come to the next gen? And especially with it being a mid-engine car, I think that would look very silly, especially with that front fascia. It would look like a completely different car compared to the Ford Mustangs and the Camrys that we see in NASCAR. Maybe they bring back the SS as a family sedan or something like that. I think that'd be kind of cool to see sort of a Gen 6 throwback to the next gen car. Don't think they're going to bring back the Monte Carlo anytime soon. Certainly not going to bring back the Lumina anytime soon. But it's going to be very interesting to see what Chevrolet goes with. Certainly there has to be a four-door sedan coming down the line that they can sell and put a V8 in it to make it NASCAR compliant. Well, wait, the Camry doesn't have a V8, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, I think this is just a little speed bump and GMs. They're not going to pull out a NASCAR. I mean, that's sort of their big thing. No one's expecting that. But I think it'd be very dumb to see the Corvette come to the NASCAR Cup Series. Make him come to the Xfinity Series. I'd be cool with that, but not the Cup Series.
All right, well, that's been our Happy Hour headlines, and now it's time. Hit that graphic for me, Peggy, and then come on in. Little pit road picks. All right, come on, Peggy. Let's do it. Come on, beautiful. There we are. How are we? All right, which one of you two people questions this week?
We didn't discuss, but I'm happy to take it on if you'd like, Peggy.
I'll let you do it.
We'll get you in next week.
All right.
So yeah, we're gonna start off with, since we're at COTA this week coming up, we've got a couple, I don't know what you call them, road course ringers coming in, but we've got Jordan Taylor, Kimi Raikkonen from Formula One, and of course Jimmy Johnson with Legacy Motor Club. Your first question is there, am I forgetting one?
Jenson Button.
Jensen Button is also going to be there. Yes, I knew that.
Sorry.
No, that's good. Okay, I guess out of those four, then, who has the best finish at COTA this weekend? And I will start with Colin.
So out of all the people who have been in the next gen car for the past couple of months, actually the past year, probably the most people who actually have next gen road course experience over the past month are Jordan Taylor and Jimmy Johnson, as they are preparing for the next gen's debut for Le Mans. Many people forget that Jordan Taylor is the driving coach for the next gen team Garage 56 entry. If anyone's going to have a better time, I'm leaning towards Johnson because he does have stock car experience, but Jordan Taylor is a terrific sports car racer in the world of IMSA and just in endurance racing as a whole. I'm not going to spoil my pick, but I am going to get leaning towards Jimmy Johnson has the better day.
We'll go to Peyton next. Peggy, tell us who you got.
I'm going to say Jensen Button, because he has a cool name.
That's all we need. Logan, what you got for us?
You talk about riveting analysis on Race and Refresh.
She gets right to the point.
Yeah, look, it's Adam, answer this for me. It's a NASCAR series, right?
It is.
It's a NASCAR race.
It is, yeah.
He's old 7 times because he's won NASCAR Cup Series championships 7 times.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, I'll take him. I'm going to go with him. Yes, Jimmy Johnson.
Fair enough. I'm going to take Jordan Taylor because I think he's in the best equipment out of them all. So that's going to be my pick. We'll move on to question two here. Yeah, I how did we know Logan was going to pick someone running for Legacy Motor Club? I don't know. It was just I had a feeling. Question number two. With Chase Elliott being out, Ross Chastain is the only driver in the field with a win at COTA. Will he get a top five this weekend? And we'll just do the same order. Go ahead, Colin.
I mean, Ross Chastain was the debut of the No F's Given Tour, was at COTA last year. I mean, he was certainly a wrecking ball with AJ Allmendinger and Alex Bowman. He's certainly going to be a favorite for the top five. I feel like after last week at Atlanta, I'm not qualified because all three of my picks were wrong. So I'm going to go, yes, Ross Chastain does get a top five, but he's not going to be the winner.
Peggy, who you got? Is he going to get a top five?
No.
All right. And Logan.
that's a negatory Ghost Rider. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards yes. I think he can do it. He's shown that he's got some speed. So I guess it's me and Colin against the power couple over there. Question three. Kyle Larson has 4 road course wins since 2020. Will he win this weekend? This is an all or nothing question. Here you go, Colin.
No, I don't think he's going to win. To be honest, he's not won a road course race in the next gen car. I think there are, especially at road courses, there are a lot of guys who certainly up their game. Michael McDowell he's a prolific road racer. Jordan Taylor, Kimi Raikkonen had a good run at Watkins Glen until Ross Chastain put him in the bus stop wall at Watkins Glen. Certainly Jensen Button has experience. Chase Briscoe, Jordan Taylor, who else? Kyle Busch is a prolific road course racer. Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr. The list can go on and on and on. Certainly, I think when we come to COTA with just the way the track is laid out, I think it's sort of the super speedway of road course racing. It certainly opens the box when it comes to that. So I think anyone who's competent can win at this racetrack. So no, Kyle Larson doesn't get his 5th road course win this year.
Peggy, what you got?
No.
All right. And Logan.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I would love to be contrarian and say yes, but I don't think he's got it this weekend. And you know, I think Colin laid out a great case there. So I think we're all in agreement. We are getting short on time, so maybe we'll do a little lightning round here. AJ Allmendinger, he is a past winner in the Xfinity Series at COTA. Does he win this weekend in Xfinity? He is running the Xfinity race.
Yes, best road course racer in the Xfinity Series.
Peyton?
I also say yes.
Logan?
Yep, Colin's got it. It's for sure. Yep.
Okay, this one I'll say no just to disagree with you, but he's very good at road courses, so it's hard to disagree, but I'm just for fun, I'll say no.
Well, you make yourself miserable. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. And then finally here we got Kyle Busch has won an Xfinity at COTA, but can he do it this weekend in the Truck Series?
Yeah, he'll be the best road course racer in the Truck Series during his start, so yeah, he can do it.
All right, Peyton.
I'll say yeah.
All right, Logan.
Nope, it's the Truck Series. Someone's going to overdrive a corner and hello.
Yeah, someone's going to arc break him into turn one or something.
Yep. So I'm going to say no.
Big surprise that Logan says no when it comes to Kyle Busch. Okay.
I'm such a fan.
I'm going to say yes. I think he's the best one in the field there. So there you go. That wraps up our Pit Rogue picks for this week.
All right. That means it's time for a little weekend preview. Hit it. Hit the graph. All righty. So we've talked in depth about NASCAR at COTA. Colin, fire round. Give me an Xfinity and truck pick. Go ahead.
My truck pick is going to be Kyle Busch. My Xfinity pick is going to be AJ Allmendinger. You look at the roster, you look at everything on paper, those two have the most experience when it comes to road course. Kyle Busch has won at Sonoma and at Watkins Glen, so obviously I think he's a confident road courser. So those are my picks for this weekend.
All right, I'll take Allmendinger and Grant Enfinger. And we, of course, will make our picks in just a moment for the Cup Series. Let's bring Adam right back in here. We've got to talk some NHRA. Talk to us about it, my friend.
There's not a whole lot to say, really. Just it's the second stop of the season for the Camping World Drag Racing Series. If I get that right,
I know a guy on Arizona right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear there's some guy down there. I don't know. I think his name's Chandler. No, I'm just kidding. They are in Chandler, Arizona this weekend. And yeah, we'll have more for you on that next week. Let you know the results and all that.
Absolutely.
And I believe, Logan, you as our Trans Am reporter here, let us know a little bit about what Trans Am is up to this weekend.
Well, they're heading to Road Atlanta, another brisk big time turn moving, and Rafa Matos looks to continue his momentum as Matthew Bradham in the just TA class. Justin Marks continues his full time run, trying to get win number one. He keeps having bad luck. He keeps either getting overdriven or having a mechanical failure. But Justin Marks continues to run the full season in the TA class. Let's see if he can get that first win this weekend. All right. So with that, it's time for a little racing refresh picks as we bring it home. Oh, yeah, we're in the eye of the storm. So let's get Peggy right back in here, because let me tell you what, she is a Texas tornado if there ever was one. Suited in there, Dakota, Texas.
Very good. Very good.
Tell you what, if you got any fun, you'd kick me off. So... Yeah. So go ahead and tell us how Atlanta went. Adam, I have.
You have a vested interest in knowing how it went?
No. Yeah.
So our winner last week was Logan, because he picked Corey LaJoy, who earned his career best finish, fourth place.
You mean little old me?
And so our 1-1-1-1 tie was broken. Logan takes the lead for now. But yeah. We're going to make our picks quickly for COTA, and I get to go first because I was the big loser last week picking Michael McDowell. And I am going to pick – oh, it's a tough one. I am going to go a little outside the box here. I'm going to take Christopher Bell. And so our next pick goes to producer Peggy.
I'm going to take Michael McDowell this week.
Okay. And then next is Colin.
I get much pleasure saying this pick. I'm going to go with old Rodney Sandstorm himself. Jordan Taylor upsets the NASCAR world. He gets his first win at COTA.
And so that, just for clarification, that you are picking the 9-team charter, which means that you cannot pick Chase Elliott again for the rest of the season.
That's fine. I don't think he's going to get in victory lane this year anyway.
Wow. Hot take. Yeah. Hot take. Okay, well, just wanted to put that out there. Logan, finish us up here. What do you got? Who you taking for COVID?
Oh, it's so great to have two. And you want to know why I like two? Because it means I can go for three. So with that, Devil, you're going to get a black eye today. Let's go with Chase Briscoe.
Solid pick. Yep. It's good.
All right. You know what that means, people? That means that's our race and refresh picks. You know what that means? You don't have to go home. You don't have to click out of the internet browser, but you can't stay at this particular link because it's closing time. It's closing time. Look at there, getting a little sun down on the banks. Looks like Buckeye Lake or something out there. All right. You're smiling, Producer Peggy. So you got any final words?
I didn't get a Shamrock Shake. I did get a Coke.
Colin Bass, do you have any final words or moments?
So, I'm not sponsored, but Goldfish colors are the best. I don't care what anyone says. And you get them in this giant pack, 55 pieces per serving. And there's 28 servings in here. Do the math. That's over like three. That's a lot of Goldfish. It's a snack that smiles back. Sponsor me. But and just enjoy the weekend. Also, one thing, I did a crazy moment. I'm going to talk about a crazy moment that's probably going to happen. Gunther Steiner is joining the Fox Sports booth this weekend at COTA. I'm going to put the over-under F-bombs used at 2 during the broadcast. So, because he can smash doors over at Fox. If you're a Drive to Survive fan, you know exactly what I mean. But I'm going to take these Goldfish colors right here. Someone else can talk, and it's been a good show. See you guys next time.
People are definitely flipping that, right? That's a racing refresh reel here today or two. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for that. Adam, any final words?
I don't know how I can follow that. You're making me hungry there, Colin. So I'll wrap it up here and go get myself some dinner.
All right. Well, with that, it's been another lovely episode. We want to thank every one of you for tuning in, whether that's now or later. Ryan, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you all enjoyed my rant on the ratings and that we disproved that the West Coast swing in the LA market, it's a bunch of hoopla. So I'm glad we disproved that theory together. Hope you enjoyed that. I love being a part of this show, and I love everybody that listens to it, and it's a part of it, and there's nothing you can do about it. Let's have some great racing at COTA. Let's have some great racing at COTA with that.
We're off.
With that, we'll see you at the next track.